Welcome to the Wise Women Collective Show.
Join hosts Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and Brooke Haynes with their inspiring guests for conversations that fuel personal growth, career success, and community impact.
Tune in to connect and amplify your power, because when women rise, the world follows. Welcome to the Wise Women Radio Show. My name is Holly Hartman, and I'm one of your co-hosts for this episode today. And I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Lynn Schuessler-Williams and Brooke Haynes. And today, you listened to our intro not too long ago, but today we want to dig in a little deeper of each of our co-hosts, so you get to know a little bit more about each of us and what we do in the world and why we're here, and let you know just a little bit more insight. As we build out this show, we want you to feel like you know us, that you can get connected to us. And so we're just going to ask, but today, our featured guest is Lynn Schuessler-Williams. And so I'm going to bring her on, and we're going to talk a little bit about her reinvention journey and what's brought her here and what roles that she's played. So you can dig in and know a little bit more about this fantastic, dynamic, amazing woman who I call a dear friend, but also our co-host. So Lynn, would you mind sharing a little bit more about who you are and what you do in the world?
Well, Holly, I thank you for that warm introduction. It definitely makes my heart warm to hear that from you, and right back at you, sister. So, so I'm a certified reset specialist is my main work in the world. It is my business, and I work with people who want to get out of their own way, who have grooves they've made in their brains and in their lives of patterns that don't belong to them, and they want to get rid of them. And that was me. And so I'm really blessed to get to do that work in the world, and it's my main work. But as you know, and as we value, I have other passions as well, multi-passionate, as you would say. And so there's some things I do outside of my business that I do really, like this radio show is a great example of something I do because it's important to me to be a part of it. So, so there's the Wise Women Collective community. There's the Be More Conference for Women that I produce and that you and Brooke are partners in with me. And there's, you know, I spent 13 years as a sales coach, and I still have a few sales coaching clients, particularly in a group called the DIY Sales and Marketing Mastermind. And then I'm a co-host on two other podcasts, one with Brooke called Frequency 500 and one with Mark Mathis, the founder of Reset It, called Neuroquantum Chats, Exploring Your Stuff with Mark and Lynn. And you know, I love to be a speaker. I've written a book. You know, there's just so much to say that's this, I feel like, is this kind of litany of stuff, but it's all a big part of who I am.
I love that. Well, we love who you are for sure. I had the pleasure of not too long ago, I just hosted an award ceremony for one of the groups I'm a part of, and Lynn was the keynote speaker for it. And she spoke on her keynote of the 9 little words to change your life or 9
to change your results.
To change your results. And literally, you don't think award ceremonies are going to be healing, but when Lynn speaks, they're healing. And that was, it's such a beautiful moment. And what I love watching you, how you create community. So you're a coach, but you're also a community builder. And all three of us here are community builders. Yeah. That is like our passion work, the things we do, we're collaborators. And you really model that. And what I love in what you share, Lynn, and I feel like I'm just going to like amplify Lynn here. And that's one of the tools that we do when we in Wise Women Wednesday is one of our networking groups. So if you're listening here, we invite you the second Wednesday of the month to engage with us one-to-one, like in real time. But what we talk about is amplification. And that's what you do so well. You bring in women into community so they can step into their own power, into their own greatness. And you created the spaces that you wanted to be in. And I do the same thing with my communities. I'm like, oh, I need a hiking group. I'm going to create it. Oh, I need a women's group. I'm going to create it. Like, we create the spaces that we want to be in, but not just for us, but for others. And so I love that you did that. Let's just go back to, like, Wise Women Collective recently got rebranded. So it was a different group before. And we're talking about some of these roles and journey. Can you talk to us about the creation of that community and how it's developed to get to this point?
Yeah. So it's interesting. It started, pre-COVID lockdown. It was an in-person local group. And we did think we had several, I don't know, 5 to 7 events every month. And they were connection events. They were opportunities for women to get together. We had a Wise Women Wednesday luncheon with a speaker every month. We had Circle Up Saturday was a Saturday morning coffee shop. And they had these big round wooden kind of bourbon barrel tables, and we would sit around those, and we'd have 20, 25 women around this one circular table, right? It was so much fun. And then when lockdown happened, I had had a Zoom account at that point for 6 or 7 years. It had been a part of my coaching practice because I'd had clients all over North America, at least. And so we just went online, and immediately, Holly, people started saying, can I invite my friend Fran from Columbus? Can I invite my friend Sally from California? And it was like, sure, we're all in this together, you know? And so we could never go back. It grew into this global community of women almost instantly. And it's been so wonderful to have a place where women can connect between our events. And then we have 5 events every month, usually, some depending on how the calendar works, sometimes 6. But we have a weekly event, and then we have a monthly event. And they're all about connection and amplification and keeping us willing to see the good in ourselves and each other, and just empowering in that way. And it's amazing and wonderful to be a part of. I just love it.
I love that. And you brought Brooke in a little earlier than I got in. Brooke's been a part of the organization for a long time as well. And
Brooke was part of it when we were in person before lockdown. And I'll never forget the day I met Brooke Haynes. We were at that coffee shop with the round table, and whatever the event was over, and Brooke kind of hung out for a minute, and we just sat down at a table, and I don't think we looked up for 2 hours. Like, it was just like, blah, 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 you know, and we just really connected. And both of us felt like we were meeting a different version of ourselves, sort of. And it's been wonderful to have Brooke on that journey. And then one day I met Holly Hartman at a luncheon, and it's been even a great thing to bring Holly into this trio too. So, yeah.
It's been fun. Now, since we're putting Lynn on the spot today, and I didn't tell Brooke this, but Brooke, would you like to share one of your favorite stories or connection points that you had with Lynn? Because we're amplifying Lynn today, and we're letting the listeners and the people here to know a little bit more about Lynn. So would you mind just share a little bit about your perspective of Lynn on here?
Absolutely. And it goes back to that one first day that we met, that we on a table. And it's interesting because I reached out to her for a whole different reason. Little did I know. And I showed up to this event, and I got Lynn's name from someone because I had just decided to stop my networking events. I had a Moms Among Business or Moms for Business, some franchise that I was doing. And I said, you know, we're going to stop doing this. And someone said, you ought to reach out to this woman. And I did. And I showed up. It was a lot later, but I showed up. And when I walked into the room and I had the event, I said, yes, this is exactly the vision I had for my networking that I did not get created. This was it. Women connecting, engaging. It wasn't about just tossing around business cards and what do you do. The vibration was out of this world. Like, I'm not just using that because it's a word to be using, a hot word. I'm using it because you walked into a room and it was buzzing. The room was buzzing. And when I sat down and I talked to Glenn after the event, you know, there was this connection, and it was because she did what I had been saying can happen, where people show up. They don't just talk about what they do. They're not. And they can be multiple people doing the same thing in the room. And that's not competition. That can look like collaboration. And so I was like, this is it. This is the space. She has done it. And I recognized that immediately. And the harmony and the warmth and the amplification, and we were there for each other. And there was a lot of business made out of that room. Yeah. So that's one of the things. And then the second thing, you know, something, we have a very wise woman amongst the beginning of this, named Pamela J. I'll give her a little shout out right now. Yeah. And Pamela is one of these wise women in the world. I mean, she went and lived in a treehouse in her 60s, like, you know, to learn about things, you know, and to learn about life and to figure out some stuff out. And she's just one of those women that when she speaks, you listen. And she said to Lynn, "You're Gigi, you're a global gatherer of women." And that was right before COVID. We were local. And so she called her Gigi. And she is. That is who Lynn is.
I had not heard that story. I love that. A Gigi, a global gatherer. When you were talking, Brooke, the threads that I heard is very much, it makes me understand why I was magnetized to Lynn, is because I had also created a local networking group. This is before Lynn and I had met, or I was really close to developing it, but very much to what she just shared, I've also created locally, and she's now a founding member of it. Both of them are members of it. And it's interesting to hear that when you transition into global, I kind of took on the reins maybe a year or two later of what you were already developing in this. And it's the same mission of collaboration over competition, of like raising the frequency of a room, and that we can have deep conversations that are, it's not transactional. You show up in a way that's relational. And I think that we all three model relational opportunities that elevate all of us, whatever path that we're on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I loved how we just painted that picture so people can understand where this got developed from, and the heart and the soul of where this goes and where we want it to go. Cause this is like the rebirth and the start of even more, like even more global impact, even more, like now you get to be the Gigi, like Grand Poobah. of like this, that's what Wise Women Collective is now. It's like it is that rise of the Grand Poobah of global gathering of the Gigi. So can you think of like a pivotal moment where maybe you started to embrace that a little bit more, or where like this things shifted for you, because you've worn many hats through your career. Were there any pivotal moments that kind of like, and you probably have multiple, because we live multiple lives, and that's what makes us wise women, is that we collect experiences, learn from them, and grow. But have there been threads or pivotal moments in your life where it shifted you into the places that you're in today?
Yeah. So many. You know, you don't get to be my age without having a lot of pivotal moments, I guess. A lot of moments, period. And I guess it's fair to say that our listeners probably, at least some people, are going to listen to this and not see us and might not know that I'm almost two decades older than these other two, right? So it is definitely one of the pivotal moments in my life was the day I walked away from my corporate career. Mm-hmm. And I've told this story 100 times, but what I really want to say about it is what the point of it is and what the pivot, the real, what made it an important moment was I was just done. Mm-hmm. I was working for a company that merger after merger, and I was in the sales team, and we always got the short end of the stick with mergers. It seemed like, you know, two companies coming together and they both already had a sales team, so somebody was out in the cold or whatever, right? In this particular case, the problem was I worked for the company that had gotten bought, and the bigger company was phasing out these products, and they were technology products for business, but they were still wanting us to sell them. We still had quotas on them, but they were firing the people that knew how to work on them. Like, it was a bad, bad plan. And I had just had it. I was done putting my reputation on the line for a bunch of people who clearly didn't care about me, clearly didn't care about my clients even more. And so I had a really good month, my last month, like 152% of quota, which nobody in our office had ever done. And I walked into my boss's office and he said, "So, Lynn, what do you got for me this month?" And something just clicked in me. A switch was flipped. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Not a damn thing. I got nothing for you, buddy." And it wasn't his fault, and I wasn't mad at him. He was a cog in a bigger wheel that had nothing to do with him. He was a jerk, but you know. And he was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, if I could have left a long time ago, I would. So just know I can't do this anymore." So we came to an agreement in that moment that I was leaving and how it was going to work and all of that. And I went home that day, and I had not told myself, much less my husband, that I intended to walk away from my job. And I never had a W-2 job ever again. That was the beginning of my entrepreneurial life. And I didn't know that either that day, but that's what it was. And just the trusting my gut, the trust in the flow of prosperity, the trust in, I don't know what's going to happen, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. That's why all of that was so pivotal for me. And I guess there's one other pivotal moment, if you'll indulge me, that I'll tell you about, because mm-hmm. this one, so my father was always a businessman, always in business, you know, not an employee, but usually an employer kind of thing. And then later in his career, he was in the insurance business kind of as a solopreneur. And one day I was talking to him about my business. He was in his 90s at this point. And I was saying, he was like, "Tell me about your business." And I was like, "This, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that." And he looked at me and he said, "My God, Lynn, if I had ever had any idea that you could do all that, we would have gone into business together years ago." And he has never said anything more disappointing to me. Like, because I felt so unseen, right? I felt so seen as some little girl he didn't know how to judge the value of, right? Like, it was no big deal. I love my father. I adored my father, and he adored me. But that moment was so big because it was a moment in which I realized it wasn't what anybody else thought of me. Even someone as precious to me as my father, it just doesn't count if it isn't what I see of me. So that was huge.
Oh, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
You also have another story that relates to Reset It, which is the lane that you're in now, the main thing that you do. I would love for you to also share that brief story, because people will also connect with what you do now and why you do it. Do you mind sharing that? You know what I'm talking about?
I guess you mean my 54-year thought, huh?
That is it. Yes.
Yeah. So all our listeners will be shocked to hear that I'm old enough to have had a thought that ran my life for 54 years, and that I've come out the other side of it. But I did. And it started when I was a child. And I didn't really know where it came from for a long, long time. But I was familiar with the feeling of it. The thought that ran my life forever was, it isn't safe to be too successful. And it came from my dad owned a trucking company when I was a child in the late 60s. And Jimmy Hoffa, who is a famous mob boss, was in charge of the Teamsters Union at the time. And they were pressuring my dad for more concessions. And he told them, and I quote, "Go to hell." And so as a result of that, on multiple occasions, his life and specifically my life were threatened by the mob. And, you know, dad got a call one day and said, "Are you ready to sign that contract?" And he repeated his message. And they said, "Well, you know, we saw your daughter walking to school today in a red sweater and a blue skirt, and it'd be a shame if something, if she didn't make it home today." And that was me. And so for a number of years, about 4 years, best I can tell, this went on, and eventually he lost the company, and he would have told you they ran him out of business. But the result for me was this thought that it just isn't safe to be too successful. You know, dad was a big fish in a small pond. We lived in a small town, Georgia. He was on the board of directors of the local bank and, you know, president of his company and all this sort of stuff. But my takeaway as a kid was this: just like fly under the radar, don't get noticed too much. And I think that got reinforced as a woman too. There were all kinds of experiences I had along the way. I mean, you can track that thought about don't be too successful through all kinds of things in my life. I just found recently, I was home cleaning out my dad's house, and I found my fourth and fifth grade report cards. And on it, it says, "I don't understand why Lynn doesn't live up to her potential. And Lynn should just apply herself more." But, you know, no, because Lynn's busy flying under the radar and trying not to get too noticed, because that's not safe, right? So, but my relationship with men, my relationship with food, my relationship with my body, my relationship with business success, all of it can be traced back in this thread that runs through it. And, you know, I wrote a book called 9 Little Words to Change Your Results. And the subtitle of that book is Releasing Old Patterns and Moving Forward with 3 Short Phrases. So I have been on a mission to get that stuff the heck out of my way for a long time. And eventually I found Reset It, and that's what did it. That's the thing. After I had tried so many other things along decades to release it, and some things had helped, but some things you just can't think your way out of, and this was the way to get past it. So yeah,
I love found that
me too
that to unravel that thread, to look at it from different way, and that you now I loved we were in a the Be More conference this past session in the fall. And one of the things that you said was that it's your mission to help people change this. Like, and I felt that in my being. And so I love to watch this develop as you're helping more and more people and helping develop other coaches to be able to do this or specialists to help do that. So we're getting close to the last of the 30 minutes. And the beautiful gift of this is we're just getting started. We just want you to kind of get a glimpse of who we are. You're going to hear more of our stories woven through the radio show. And so, Lynn, thank you for sharing so much of who you are. But Brooke, I want you to be able to ask one of the last questions to help wrap this up. Is there any questions you want to ask Lynn or any way that you would help wrap this up for the session today?
Yeah, Lynn, where do you hope, where is the vision for the next 5 to 10 years for what all that you're doing right now?
Wow. Whew. Well, let's just start with the Wise Women Collective, because that is a mission. You know, I don't know that we've ever said it on the podcast, but our Wise Women Collective mission is to provide women an opportunity and an environment here on our podcast, at our events, in our community, where they can step into their own self-belief and confidence, create choices, live purposeful lives, all those sorts of things, right? So I see the reach of that mission really growing. And then, you know, Frequency 500, which is a podcast that Brooke and I do, but that is all about having a mission of inspiring people to live from the frequency of love or above, right? That's a possibility I see as, you know, 5, 10 years from now, how many people could we have touched in that way? That's like, that would be so good. And I just see, you know, people getting out of their own way, whether it's women getting out of their own way and succeeding at the things that make their heart sing, whether it's all kinds of people understanding social programming and how the things that society tells us are important don't necessarily belong to you, and you don't have to buy it, and you get to be you, like authentic being present to your authentic self is just, there's nothing more gorgeous than that, nothing more beautiful. And that's, so I see all of those things amplified. And those are the things that run through everything I do, right? So I see them amplified. I see them big. I see people, you know, Wise Women Collective being on, just known, right? People know what that is. People know what we stand for. Women feel supported in being themselves, in being seen in the way I didn't feel seen that time, you know. It's so important. And I think we're at a stage in our history where that is super important. And it's super important for us to do that. You know, Holly Hartman is a director for an organization called RARE, which I'm also I don't know what kind of member I am, some kind of member. Yeah. and RARE, RAARE, stands for Radical Action Advancing Racial Equity, which is another, you know, thing that I see growing and being huge in the next 5 to 10 years, and the impact of it rippling through all the rest of our organizations as we inspire people to support racial equity. So all of that matters to me, and all of that is what I want to see amplified and grown over the next 5 to 10 years. What a big question, Brooke.
Well, we're coming on to the last of the 30 minutes that we're able to collectively become together. And Lynn, you've given us so much of insights of who you are, what your passion is, what your mission is, and we're going to hear more of your story woven throughout this podcast. And thank you for taking the time to share so much of who you are with not only us as like your friends and partners and partners in business and community and everything that we do to develop it all together as a collective, but that you create the spaces and you bring us along with you in the most loving, compassionate way. So thank you to you. And then thank you to all the listeners that are here today to listen to the radio show, to show support. And we can't wait to connect with you and collect with you as we move forward.
Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Collective Show.
We trust you're leaving inspired, empowered, and ready to make a difference. Keep the momentum going. Join our Wise Women Collective community at wisewomencollectivehq.com.
Connect with other women, amplify your power, and together we'll continue to rise. Until next time, stay strong and connected, because when women rise, the world follows.